Excellent. No, it wasn't supposed to be a pun, but we can go that way. If you want to play excellent bingo, you know, every time I say something exciting, you ting. But we're probably not good to start there and never finish it. It was Mary's birthday yesterday, I think, wasn't it? It was yesterday. It's Dave's birthday today. Yes. Sorry, Dave, no flowers. No, nothing, just a woo. And it's Ellie's birthday tomorrow. Hooray! So, look, that's as far as I'm going to stretch, okay? One day either side. I'm not going to start getting into a week before or week after or whatever. But, you know, something about your birthday, something about, you know, why are we celebrating birthdays? We're not born, you know, Dave wasn't born today. He's celebrating the fact that he was born. And when you're celebrating birthdays, I don't know about you, but when it's your birthday, it seems more important than it's someone else's birthday. I don't know whether that's just me or whether that's everyone. When it's your birthday, it's your birthday. And it's something special about it. Whereas whether it's someone else's, that's nice, but it's not quite the same. And I got that same feeling today when I got up. You know, if we consider that this is just Jesus' resurrection day, it's not quite as special as if we say, this is our resurrection day. And I want us to get a hold of the fact that today is our resurrection day. It's as much about us celebrating our resurrection as it is a historical fact about Jesus' resurrection. chocolate-fueled children. Excellent. No. That's fine. I'm not going to go on for long, so we'll get through it. But let me read a scripture for you. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21, probably, this says, "For since death came through a man, and the resurrection of the dead came also through a man, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." And, you know, you can say, well, I'm not dead. I don't need to be resurrected. Well, the fact is, we were all dead. We, according to this scripture, because of Adam's sin and the wages of that sin were death and the curse of that sin, of that disobedience was death, we were all dead. So it's only Easter and it's only the cross that has brought about our entire resurrection. And I just want us to get excited about it. because there's something about it that says, actually, this is my resurrection day. This is when I celebrate that I have, that what I was destined for, which was an eternity in separation with God, has been done away with. And now I'm not only living this life, but I think the message says, if you serve your whole life for sin, you end up with a pension of death. It's a great line. It sort of says you work all your life for sin and you end up with a pension of death. And yet Jesus gives you life now in fullness and also life to come. There's two things. It says death came through Adam. It says you will die. If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will die. And yet Adam didn't die at that point, or we appear in the physical that he didn't die. But he did die spiritually. His soul was disconnected. His immortality was in question, and heaven was no longer a possibility. Yesterday, listening to the radio, there was a program. Well, I think it was obviously, you would be able to tell me, Tim, because it's probably in your field of expertise. But I think it was Rowan Williams and other archbishops of Canterbury talking about the Saturday and talking about that moment when you're waiting, when you know there's been a physical death, but we're waiting. We know the end of the story. We know the resurrection. And it was quite profound, and they were talking a lot about. But really also talking about Jesus when he descended, because the creed, if you read the creed, it says he descended into hell. And there's a lot of kind of, what's that all about? Actually, if you go into it, it's because this was the start of the resurrection. he descended into hell to meet and take all those who'd already died and say, right, your resurrection begins today. you come with me, because we're all going together to a place where we were destined to be, into the heavenly realms. And it said, there's artworks that depict that moment when Jesus bust open the gates of hell and actually led out those captives and led out those as he started that resurrection journey. And that was the beginning of our resurrection. That's humanity's resurrection. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And we've got to know death is defeated. There was a moment in this radio program where someone was saying in their grief, they would go and visit the grave of their son. They'd had a son who'd been killed, and they would go and visit the grave. And she said, I would go and visit them to remember them and to be with them. And then she said, and one day God stopped me in the middle of this journey and said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? And suddenly she thought, you know what? That statement means that I've got hope and confidence that my son is alive. That statement means he's no longer here, but he's in the heavenly realms. And in that instant of revelation, she was transformed to believe that she's not just grieving a loss, she's looking forward to not only a hope for her son, but a hope for herself, as she understood that resurrection is a reality. And for her son, it meant that he was now in the heavenly realms, and there was a future, and there was a hope, and there was a chance to be reunited. Yeah, it was just one little line, but it was powerful. The other thing I saw over the last few days, and that was a documentary about Notre Dame and the fire that was in the cathedral. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely fantastic. I don't know whether you're aware, but that is Notre Dame on fire. That is from the rear view. Those two towers hold bells in them, and the bells are hung from wooden girders. Those wooden beams were on fire. They were about 15 minutes. They reckon they were about 15 minutes away from the tower on this side collapsing, and it would have brought down the other tower. It would have been rubble. And the firefighters were in there. The president was there. And basically, the good and the great of Paris were there, because there was something about this that they were contending for. I don't know quite why I'm so emotional. I wasn't that emotional when I saw the program. I was more intrigued. The community came out and surrounded the entire place as far as they could be. Anyway, miraculously, some of the firefighters said, "We're going to go into that tower. We're going to do it." And they went in and they saved the day, and they got the fire under control. At the same time, the people around were singing. It was in French. I don't know what they were singing. But they were singing songs, and the firefighters said it was like being in heaven. We were up at the top, but we could hear this worship. You know, they didn't say worship, but they could hear worship. They said, we didn't know where it was coming from. It was amazing. And then the fire's under control. And you may have seen the image, but basically they opened the doors and they said, we've got to go in and see. That cross was there. It had been placed there because the people who ran the cathedral said, we want people to know that this is a Christian. This is a Christian cathedral. We want people to know. We want, as they come in, for them to understand what the centrality of the cross. Now, this cross, I thought, was made of metal. And I thought, well, of course it didn't melt because it's made of metal. It's not. It's made of wood. It's gilded. It's covered in gold leaf. And it was relatively new. But basically, as they opened the doors, there's the cross. And I just, for me, it was like, look, it doesn't matter how close to disaster we are. It doesn't matter how much life is falling apart. It doesn't matter how much your roof is gone and burned away. Actually, when all of that is almost destroyed or completely gone, there is glory in the cross. There is something that stands above all of that, and that is our hope. That is the hope we're here for. That is the resurrection hope. That is the cross of Jesus that said, it is finished. There is life, and there will be life forevermore. And they're gonna rebuild the rest of the cathedral. They're gonna get the roof back on, and they're gonna sort it out. But I hope one day to go and visit and walk back through and see, because it was a miracle that it wasn't destroyed. We must glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus. Salvation is here, our life and resurrection. Through it, we are saved and set free. I know Christmas is big time, and I get that because of the commercial elements of it all, and I like Christmas. But Easter, we need to get a campaign to get a bit more Easter back into Easter. We need to get a campaign to get a bit more of the cross back into the centrality of the Christian faith. We need people to understand it's not just some bit of cosmetic stuff. When we were in the square on Good Friday, something about the power of that symbol of the cross. And it's not just, that's what happened to Jesus. It is our resurrection day. It is our salvation. It's our hope. It's our future. It's our eternity. So today, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about that it doesn't matter how bad life gets. God waited. There wasn't any shadow of a doubt that Jesus wasn't dead. There was no trickery involved, when his side was pierced, he was dead and placed in that tomb, and the resurrection is death into life. And so there's nothing that isn't beyond hope. And death has lost its sting. Death has lost the day, and there is life. Not for now, and there is life for eternity, and that is our hope today. Amen. Thank you for indulging me. And let me pray for us today. Jesus. The cross has said it all. The cross has said it all. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that the moment we fell, the moment we as humanity tripped and were deceived and were tricked into believing that we could do it ourselves, that we didn't need a connection with you, that we could get through this life okay without you, the moment we were tricked into that and we fell into that trap of death, you had a plan. And today, Father, I thank you that we celebrate the victory of that plan, the ultimate end and fulfillment of that plan, that death has been defeated, that there is life, there is reconnection with heaven, there is eternity. And Father, I just pray that you would stir that hope in our hearts, that we would be those, we would be people of hope. Before in Corinthians it says, if we do not believe in the resurrection, we're to be pitied. Our faith is completely worthless. It's pointless. And so, Father, I thank you that we are resurrection people. We're people who believe that every situation can be resurrected, that it doesn't matter how burned or how much destruction has been wrought, at the heart of it, God, you just place again that cross and says, remember, I can do more than you ask or imagine. Remember, I have a plan. Remember, I have resurrection power. I can breathe life into any situation. And Father, I thank you that today, whatever we're facing, whatever we're looking at, that we would raise our eyes and look to the cross and be filled with hope again, that your resurrection power is for us. It's not just for Jesus because he was special. It's for us because we're special and you love us and you want us to live in this life and in the life to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.